I would like to clarify some of the points we made in the shiur earlier today on Piri Varivya and Lashevis Yitzara, the relationship between the two. To clarify what we meant by explaining Rabbi Yochanan Mesu Banav Lo Kiyam HaMitzvah, that Lashevis is a chumrah that obligates the father in this case to continue to dedicate himself to Piri Varivya, despite the fact that elsewhere we've seen time and time again that Sheves is a kula, allowing, as it were, according to Rav Nosson in Beis Hillel, one boy or one girl, according to Rava, granddaughters, at least according to the interpretation of the tour, and that is based on Lashevis Yitzhara. So let me just clarify how we work this all out. Rav Yochanan's Chumra, in the case of Mesu Banav, by virtue of Lashevis Yitzhara, introduces another element, a new element, into the picture of Piri Varivya. And that is that it's not enough to do the Bia and to have the Leda to bring a Zohar Nekeva. It's not enough to bring the arrival of Mashiach a little bit closer. What we need is, in addition, to propagate the earth, and there have to be Bnei Adam that populate the earth. So there, in that context of Rabbi Yochanan, Lashevis introduces an additional chiyuv. There's Piri Varivya, what we call Gufa Shel Mitzvah or Ikar Mitzvah, and then there's Sheves, which either defines Piri Varivya and adds a third condition, namely Kiyum HaBonim, and that's the way the Rambam would see it, or alternatively, a new chiyuv of Sheves as an independent chiyuv within the broader context of Piri Varivya, the way the Torah would see it. That's the Chumrah. Elsewhere, we can use Lashevis as a kula, where we're not required to imitate Hashem with the Zachar Nekeva. If, for example, Beis Hillel doesn't have the derivation of Briyasa Shel Olam and all he has is Sheves, then Sheves on its own, says Rabbi Nosson, would be fulfilled with one boy or one girl. Rava is going to implement the principle of Sheves in the context of Bnei Bonim Harem Kibonim, and to be makil about the fact that since the grandfather has fulfilled his mitzvah Piri Varivya Zochar Nekeva, the he that we're missing the third element of Kiyum HaBonim after Mesu, nevertheless, Lashevis Yitzhara steps in and says, all we need now is a unit of two. This is the generation, so to speak, that has to be brought into the world to propagate the world. We no longer are limited and circumscribed by Briyasa Shel Olam. That kiyum of Briyasa Shel Olam he already has in his pocket. And that's why a Zachar and an Akeva is not required. So we see over and over again that Lashevis Yitzhara is a kula, but here in Rabbi Yochanan's frame of reference in Mesu Banav, insofar as Sheves introduces a new chumra, a new chiyuv, excuse me, it's a chumra. As far as the machlokas between Rav Huna and Rabbi Yochanan is concerned, Rav Huna sees the mitzvah Piri Varivya within the context of A, Briyasa Shel Olam, that's Beis Hillel's derivation, number two, B, within the context of Kalu Nefashos, and this means that we bring down the nefashos, the neshamos, into the guf. That is the beginning, the middle, and the end all of the mitzvah Piri Varivya according to Rav Huna. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan introduces Lashevis Yitzhara. Then we raise the point regarding Abaye, who introduces a kolshkein bra labarta. And that's a very strange halacha, that bra labarta, the son, can replace his mother, the daughter of the grandfather, whereas a daughter cannot replace the son of the grandfather. what is the logic that underlies Abaye? If we would have assumed that Beis Hillel accepted Beit Shammai and went beyond, namely that two Zcharim, then Tosu says Nicha. But within the classical interpretation, the simple pshat in the Bavli, we get the impression that Beis Hillel is not standing on the shoulders and extending Beit Shammai. He never accepted Beit Shammai. The Gemara says that Beis Hillel operated with a pircha, that we cannot derive anything from Moshe Rabbeinu, who is exempt from the mitzvah of Piri Verivya, that Yalfusa is rejected. Therefore, there's only one alternative, there's only one method of fulfilling Piri Verivya, and that's the Zohar and the Keva. Wherein lies the distinction between the Zohar and the Keva? Why should Bra Labarta be acceptable, but Barta Labra not? And we suggested, in the light of our interpretation of the Rambam Shita, that Sheves is the completion of the mitzvah Piri Verivya, meaning that the Kiyum HaBonim now shifts from the son and the daughter that he had initially to the son and the daughter, meaning the grandson and the granddaughter. What we're operating with is B'nai Bonim Areim Kibonim. The B'nai Bonim now step into the shoes of the Bonim. That's how the Rambam understands it. And in that context, Abai says that when you are substituting the third generation for the second generation through the power and the principle of B'nai Bonim, you have to understand that B'nai Bonim Areim Kibonim does not always work. You cannot substitute a daughter for a son. This might be a reflection of the first Kesef Mishnah in Hilchas Talmud Torah, in which he says that when the Rambam derives from a pasuk in Chumash, Imaritem, Vodatim Levnei Vanecha, that Bnei Bonim Arein Kibonim, as far as the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is concerned, that only applies to the children of his son, meaning to the son of his son, but not to the son of his daughter. So that sometimes we see that B'nai Bonim Areim Kibonim has a limited operation, and that's obviously a research project on its own. And then we ask the question, if the Rambam requiring Zohar Nekev in the third generation for the mitzvah Piri Verivya assumes that the Kiyum is inherent in the third generation, which is not our approach to the Rambam, as we'll soon see, then the question is, why does the Rambam require that the second generation be a male and a female Zohar Nekeva? Why not just skip over the second generation through B'nai Bonim, go right to the third generation, let that generation produce the Zohar Nekeva and fire to Gamaisa? Why does the Rambam require a Ben and a Bas? Why not just require a Ben Abbas in the B'nai Bonim generation? And the answer is, because as we've emphasized, the Rambam sees Sheves as defining the mitzvah of Piri Verivya. It sets the parameters. It's not a separate independent Kiyum or Chiyuv. And insofar as Sheves defining the mitzvah of Piri Verivya per se, it's telling you that you need not just Leda, Kibriyoso Shalolam, and Kolu Nefashas Beguf, but rather you need Kiyum HaBonim as well. That Kiyum HaBonim through B'nai Bonim Arayin Kibonim could be through the third generation Zohar Nekeva. But nevertheless, as far as the basic mitzvah of Piri Verivya, Rabbi Yochanan, like Rav Huna, defines that Kiyum of Piri Verivya as a Zohar Nekeva. We cannot get to stage two and substitute the B'nai Bonim for the second generation without having first been Mekayim the mitzvah of Piri Verivya through Bia and Leda with a Zohar and a Nekeva. What we're going to do now is that we're going to add another dimension, that in addition to Bia and Leda, we also need Kiyum HaBonim, and the Kiyum HaBonim allows us to substitute the third generation for the second one and replace the second one with the third. But we need both a Zohar Nekeva in the second and in the third generation. So the reason for that is because they each address a different Kiyum, a different dimension of the mitzvah Piri Verivya. Even though, again, as we've said over and over again, the Rambam doesn't tolerate two Kiyumim, but rather two aspects of one unit of one indivisible Kiyum of Piri Verivya. But the second aspect, which requires the Kiyum HaBonim, meaning propagating the earth in a permanent sort of way that sets up generations, and therefore Misa undermines that condition of Kiyum HaBonim, which is derived from Sheves. But now, having done so and requiring Kiyum HaBonim, Bnei Bonim allows the Kiyum to come to fruition through the third generation of the grandchildren. But nevertheless, that Kiyum, insofar as it's one Kiyum of Piri Virivya, reflects the Briyasa Shel Olam Yalfus of Beis Hillel and requires a Zachar Nekev. And then we suggested that in the context of Rabbi Yochanan, in the other sugya of Hayulo Bonim Begiuso Vinizgayer, the Rambam establishes in Hilchos Ishus Perek Tes Vav Halacha Vav that it's got to be Nizgayer Hu Vehem, and we found this very paradoxical within the context of the Aruch HaNer, because the Aruch HaNer says that Nizgayer Hu Vehem is necessary because Rabbi Yochanan, like Rav Huna, adopts and embraces the principle of Kolu Nisham and Nefashos Me'aguf, but it's got to be Nefashos Yisrael, and that could only come into reality if and when the children are Nizgayer. Then it's Kolu Nisham Yisrael. And we pointed out that the Aruch HaNer is very strange, because the Aruch HaNer himself, in defining the Yesodos of Rabbi Yochanan and the Kiyum Mitzvahs Peri Verivya, he says it's the Kiyum that he achieved during his state of Geus, which is not going to be robbed and cancelled when he is Mizgayer. Why then do I have to see in these children now a Neshamos Yisrael Paguf? Why not just say that he carries with him the Kiyum of Piri Verivya from his Geus? And that's the end of the story. It's not at all clear. Besides which, this concept of Nizgayru Bonav Imo is very strange, because if the Aruch HaNer is right, that the Rambam requires Nizgayru Bonav because of Kolu Nefashos Shebaguf, which, by the way, the Rambam never quotes that halacha, formulates it anywhere to my knowledge. But it's strange, because Kolu Nesham Shebaguf has got to be something inherent in his period of Arivia. And the fact that the children decide to be Mizgayer, or even for that matter, if the father would bring the children, he didn't Ger Katan, Aldas Bezdin, nevertheless, it doesn't seem like he, the father, is responsible for Kolu Nesham Shel Yisrael Beguf because of the Geirus of these gavers, of these individual children. That's a very choppy idea. And here we thought, and we suggest, that the Brisker Rav has the upper hand. His chakira is, what's the nature of Ger Katan, Gershon is Ger Katan Shenola Dami? And he offers two possible definitions for this concept, for this principle. And let's read the Briskerov stencil on Bechoros, where he says the following: Hine yesh lachar b'hai dina deger shenis gair kon shenol dama imhu nemar b'chol mili. Or he says, perhaps it's not an all-inclusive principle, but rather it's limited and only applies. He says, Zeyia dafka b'midi dinesar l'bnei noach v'lo nesar b'Yisrael. When you have a din or an isur that applies to a ben noach and not to Yisrael, then we apply the principle of nizgayer kikot and shenolat. Aval, he says, kol shiyaheya isur shaveh bein l'bnei noach u bein l'Yisrael al zelo shayach klal ha'isvar de kikot and shenolat gomi. So if there are dinim that are common to both a goy and a Jew, if there's a kiyum that applies to both, then the whole principle of kikon shenola dami doesn't kick in. And that gufa is going to be the machlokus between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish in Hayilo Bonim Begiusa Nizgayer. According to Reish Lakish, the principle of ger shenizgayer kikon shenola is absolute and applies here as well. And therefore, the din of Yichus and the din of Kiyum Mitzvahs Peri Verivya will not be transferred to the ger, because the ger is kakot shenola tami, whereas Rabbi Yochanan applies a more limited application of the rule of kikot and shenola. I mean, in this case, where the guy has some sort of a kiyum, we're not exactly sure what it is, we'll call it sheves for lack of a better word, in having children, and he certainly has yichlus to his children, and the ben is yorishes aviv dvar Torah, now after the gerus, we do not apply the principle of kiger shen is gayer dummy. So whatever yichlus relationship existed, begiuso continues to exist, be geruso. But we see one thing clearly from the Brisker Rav, that the kiyum mitzvah pir verivya is a post-gerus one. But just that kikon shenola dami doesn't apply, which allows the mitzvah pir verivya to continue every single second for the rest of his life, even post-gerus. For that, the Rambam feels that somehow the gerus of the children allows you to have that ongoing relationship. So it's not the way the Aruch Laner has it, that the kiyum is inherent in the situation that existed b'giyuso, and he carries that with him in a bundle around his, you know, strewn over his back as he enters into gerus and kedushas Yisrael. No, it's that ger katan doesn't apply anymore. Even Reish Lakish would agree that if it was given for this definition, then we would not apply the principle of kikatan shenola dami. Now, I want to add a very important point here. And this I didn't get a chance to address full force in the shiur earlier today. And that is that the Beis Shmuel has a kasha. We'll read the Beis Shmuel inside. He quotes the Rambam at the beginning of Perek Tesvav Milchus Ishus. And he wonders why the Rambam would allow an Isha to give Rishus to a husband and waive her rights to Onan, that's Mutter, as long as they had a son and a daughter in the Mekayim Piri Verivya. That makes no sense, says the Beis Shmuel, because the Rambam himself codifies the halacha of Rabbi Yoshua that Lo'erev al Tanach Yodecha, at least as a mitzvah, Midivrei Sofrim, is accepted. Why should there be any difference between low-key and peri-verivya, meaning before he has a boy and a girl, where her rishus certainly doesn't operate, it's meaningless, and after a boy and a girl, when you have l'erev el tarach yadecha, and nevertheless, the Rambam says, despite that chiyuv, her rishus will waive his obligation of la'erev al tanach yadecha, of fulfilling the mitzvah of ona for the sake of having more children. That's the Beis Shmuel's kasha in a nutshell. And we believe that the answer is very simple, but yet very profound, that there's a fundamental difference between piri verivya and the mitzvah of la'erev al tanach yadecha. The mitzvah of la'erev al tanach yadecha is a long, drawn-out mitzvah. It's not immediate. It doesn't impose an obligation that has to be fulfilled at every opportune moment. Once he has Piri V'Rivya Zoch in a cave in his back pocket, he's left to an occasional ona whenever he comes around to it in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Erev Al Tanach Yodech. He doesn't have to be involved constantly and dedicate himself to that kiyum. Haraya the Ramam would not oppose such a person from marrying a ketana. He's not completely closing the door and excluding himself from having children, but la'erev is stretched out. There's no immediate requirement. In other words, the kalu neshama shebaguf, which brings about the Mashiach, that's only to be viewed within the context of ikar mitzvahs piri verivya. Once I've done my share, I've made my contribution to the redemption process by having a zoch and a keva, I no longer have this chiyuv to go ahead and bring about the Mashiach. The urgency now is gone. And therefore, the Rambam would allow a couple, in this case, where they have already fulfilled Piri V'Rivya, to waive the Chiyuv On on a regular basis, as it's defined in the context of Piri V'Rivya. Again, we're not excluding Ona completely. Ona now will take on an occasional implementation, but not an immediate one on a constant basis. And this all has to do with the yishuv of the stira. The Mishnah Melech is miyashiv the lechora stira in the Rambam, as we discussed earlier, and I think that point was clear. The Rambam in Hilchos Yisurei Bia covers all situations, even if he has a zach and a keva, and therefore the Rambam excludes the Canaan islandist, but he says nothing about Ketana, whereas in Perek Tesvav Milchus Ishus, the Rambam is addressing the case of someone who has not fulfilled the mitzvah Pirivirivya. There the Rambam excludes Ketana because of the immediate nature of Pirivirivya, that chova that doesn't tolerate any sort of postponement, because he hasn't yet fulfilled the basic mitzvah of Pirivirivya, and that mitzvah requires a fulfillment immediately, and there's no room for marrying a katana and pushing this all off, as we saw in the Baal HaFlo. And finally, to finish the discussion, I would like to call your attention to the relationship between Piri Verivya and Sheves, specifically with regard, between Piri Verivya and Sheves on the one hand, and La'erev al Tanach Yodech on the other hand. Specifically with regard to the issue of sale of Sefer Torah. With regard to selling a Sefer Torah, the Mechaber opens up Shulchan Aruch Eben Ezer and gives us license to sell a Sefer Torah for the purpose of the mitzvah of Piri Verivya. So therefore, Mochrim Sefer Torah Kedei Lahasi Yosom. An orphan boy has the mitzvah of Piri Verivya, and we will sell a Sefer Torah in order to finance that wedding. The mitzvah of Piri Verivya is a mitzvah rabba. The Chelkas Mechokik points out that if you look in the Mechaber in Or Chaim Simon Kuf Nun Gimel, where he addresses the issue of selling a Sefer Torah, the Mechaber Paskins Mutal Limkar Sefer Torah Lahasi Yisomim Bidamav. So the monies that accrue as a result of the sale of the Sefer Torah can be used for financing the marriage relationship of this Yosom, who has no other source of income and finance. And this is based on the Rivash. The Rivash says that that's only a Yosom. And the Chelkas Mechokek at the beginning of Eben Ezer points out that in the case of a Yosom who's commanded in the mitzvah of Piri Verivya, for the sake of that great mitzvah, we'll sell a Sefer Torah. But Isha, in the case of a Yosoma, and we want to marry her off by selling a Sefer Torah and using the funds that we receive in order to finance her wedding, since she's not obligated in the mitzvah of Piri Verivya, we're not allowed to do so. There's no heter, says the Chelkas Mechokek, to sell a Sefer Torah for the sake of Yisoma. And that's his diuk from the Mechaber, as we said before, in Or Chaim Siman Kuf Nun Gimel. If that diuk is correct, I'd like to raise with you the following question. Even though a Yisoma is not mitzuvah in Piri Verivya, she may very well be obligated in the mitzvah of Sheves. Tosus and Gittin on Daf Mem Aleph Amid Beis Dibra Maskelo So Brawl or Sheves Yitzara vacillates on this point, and he's not sure whether we can sell a Sefer Torah for the sake of financing a woman's wedding if need be. And basically, there are three answers in that Tosus, three Shitos. According to the first, we need both Piri Verivya and Sheves, the combination thereof, to engender a mitzvah rabbah that allows the sale of a Sefer Torah. But in Isha, even if we assume that she's obligated in the mitzvah of Sheves, however, she's lacking the mitzvah of Piri Verivya, and therefore her status is not that of a mitzvah rabbah. It's only Sheves, pure Sheves, and there's no license to sell a Sefer Torah. That's the first answer in Tosus. But you see very clearly that Tosus is not sure, even in the context of his first answer, whether or not a woman has the mitzvah of Sheves. She may, in fact, possibly does, but since she doesn't have Piri Verivia, there's no, you know, heavy duty chiyuv that would override, the mitzvah rabot chiyuv that would override selling a Sefer Torah. The second answer to Tosfos, and this the Chassam Sofer clarifies in his Chidushim on Gittin Mem Aleph Amid Beis, maintains that in Sheves, without Piri Verivia, there is a mitzvah rabbah, but it's not at all clear that an Isha has the mitzvah of Sheves. So we see that both in the first answer and in the second year of Tosus, the status of a woman vis-a-vis the mitzvah of Sheves is very iffy. She may not in fact have the mitzvah of Sheves. If she does have the mitzvah of Sheves, then we could sell a Sefer Torah to finance a Yisoma's wedding. According to the second Teretz of Tosa, according to the first Teretz of Tosa, we need the full-blown period of Arivi, which she obviously does not have. No woman has. And then finally, in the third Teretz, that of the Rivam, Tosas postulates that Sheves, even without period of Arivi, is called a mitzvah rabbah. And therefore it applies even in the case of a woman, despite the fact she lacks Piri Verivi, she has Sheves, and we will sell a Sefer Torah, says Tosfos in the third answer of the Rivam, in order to finance a wedding of a Yisoma. So two out of three of the Tosfos, of the Shittas and Tosfos, would negate the possibility, the heter of selling a Sefer Torah for the sake of marrying off a Yisoma. The Chalkas Mechokek, likewise, as we've seen, prohibits selling a Sefer Torah for the sake of Yisoma, to finance her wedding. But what I find fascinating here in this discussion, if we leave out the Chelkas Mechokek, just take a look at the Tosus himself, and Tosus is suggesting that maybe she doesn't even have the mitzvah of Sheves, and even if she does, maybe that's not enough to engender the status of a mitzvah rabbah to allow selling a Sefer Torah. And it would seem to me that all these possibilities revolve around our discussion today about the relationship between Sheves and Piri Verivia. If you take the Rambam's approach, that Sheves is not a separate independent entity or chiyuv, but rather it defines the mitzvah Piri Verivia. In the case of an Isha, once the Torah, through the pasuk of Kivshua, has alleviated an Isha of her obligation vis-a-vis Piri Verivia, is Mevela's nothing to talk about as far as Sheves is concerned. Sheves doesn't emerge as an independent obligation. And even if you were to say that Sheves would emerge as an independent obligation, which would certainly reflect the sheet of the Torah the way we defined it, and maybe even the Rambam in certain cases could accept that, we'd have to find the source for that. Nevertheless, Sheves as an obligation in and of itself does not necessarily gain the status of a mitzvah rabbah until you get to the Rivam's Teretz. But without the Rivam, then Sheves per se as an independent obligation is not a mitzvah rabbah. The mitzvah rabbah is to imitate Hashem and hasten the coming of the Mashiach. But as we defined the obligation within the context of the Torah as an independent obligation of Sheves to propagate and populate the world, that is already a secondary mitzvah. It doesn't have the luster and the power of a mitzvah rabbah. This leads us to the Shulchan Aruch in Se'if Ches of Siman Aleph and Ibn Ezra. Here, the Shulchan Aruch wants to know whether or not you can sell a Sefer Torah to finance the wedding of an individual who has already fulfilled the mitzvah Piri Verivia as a ben and a bas. He's marrying a second woman. And this woman, if she's a bas banim, if he pursues a marriage which will allow him to continue having children, he already has fulfilled the mitzvah Piri Verivia, but he has an additional chiyuv derabanan of la'erev al tanach yadecha. For the sake of that chiyuv, would we sell a Sefer Torah? And the Mechaber here in Sif Ches brings two dais on this question. Let's just read the second day. The second opinion says, Yesh Omrim, Shafilu im Yesh Lo Bonim, Yimkar Sefer Torah Kedei, Sheyisa Isha Bas Bonim. We will no doubt in the Yesh Omrim sell a Sefer Torah to finance a wedding with a woman who can have children, which means we need a lot of money in order to maintain and sustain a family. We will sell, even though the Baal in this case has already fulfilled his mitzvah pirvi rivia. Sheves is enough to allow the selling of a Sefer Torah, because he's marrying an Isha Bas Bonin. And the question I want to raise here is that in the case of Aruch Chaim Siman Kuf Nun Gimel, the Mechaber himself leaves out the possibility of selling a Sefer Torah on behalf of an Isha. Presumably, the mitzvah of Sheves, if it exists at all, is not a mitzvah rabba. And if, according to the Torah, it does exist as a Doraisa, as a Chiyuv Doraisa, in the context of Rabbi Yochanan, then it still is not a mitzvah rabba to permit selling a Sefer Torah. And the Rambam, since he believes that Sheves is only a limiting and interpreting principle within the context of Ikar Piri Verivya, then it's quite clear that an Isha doesn't have the mitzvah of Sheves, because the mitzvah of Sheves doesn't exist on its own. But again, the strange thing here that I want to call your attention to is that on the one hand, the Mechaber in Aruch Chaim doesn't seem to give us a clue and even a ray of hope that we would sell a Sefer Torah to finance a marriage for a Yisoma. And depending upon the Torah and the Rambam, whether it is Sheves or it's not Sheves, she has Sheves, she doesn't, it's not a mitzvah rabba to be matir Sefer Torah, yet the Mechaber here in Hilchos Piri Verivya, in Eben Ezer Siman Aleph Sifkot and Ches, he himself quotes Yesh Omrim. He doesn't fail to skip a beat about mentioning that there is an opinion according to which, even though he has a child, a boy and a girl from a previous marriage, and now he's marrying an Isha Bas Bonim in order to fulfill La'er Val Tanach Yodecha, we will sell a Sefer Torah. That's the Yesh Omrim here in Sif Ches. It's very odd that when he gets to selling a Sefer Torah on behalf of an Isha, then he doesn't even have that possibility. That's the case of Yisoma. But when he's selling a Sefer Torah for the mitzvah of La'er Val Tanach Yedecha, i.e., in the case of someone who already has children, and he wants to marry an Isha Bas Bonim, we're going to finance that wedding by selling a Sefer Torah using the Damim. What's going on over here? And especially if you take the approach of the tour that Sheves is an independent chiyuv, and Tosus, although he vacillates about it, he definitely has one opinion, the Rivam, who maintains that a woman does have the mitzvah of Sheves, but despite the fact that Sheves is a kiyum doraisa for Nisha, according to those shitas, nevertheless, we're not going to be matir selling a Sefer Torah for the sake of the mitzvah of Sheves for Nisha. And that's a doraisa. But yet when we get to the Drabbanon of La'er Val Tanach Yedech, the Rambam classifies and describes as a mitzvah divrei sofrim, all of a sudden the Mechaber wakes up and he tells us Yesh Omrim that we will sell a Sefer Torah to finance that wedding. Isn't it odd that for a kiyum doraisa of Sheves, the way the Torah would have it, and in Tosus it's one day, we will not allow to sell a Sefer Torah, therefore the Mechaber doesn't bother flinching and blinking about quoting someone who would allow selling a Sefer Torah in the case of Sheves for an Isha. Yet, in the case of a Drabbanan of La'er Val Tanach Yedecha, he has already children, we have this opinion. I'm not saying the Shulchan Aruch adopts and embraces it, but it's definitely brought down in the Shulchan Aruch that Afil Yesh Lo Bonim Yimkar Sefer Torah for the sake of a mitzvah Drabbanan of La'er Val Tanach Yedecha. And I believe that the answer to this question is that we have to redefine the mitzvah of La'er Val Tanach Yedecha. It's not the Rabbanan introducing an independent mitzvah of La'er Val Tanach Yedecha, ki'ilu The mitzvah period review was completed, it was clinched, he had a boy and a girl, now there's a brand new mitzvah, have more children. But rather, La'er V'Altanach Yodecha, as a rabbinic institution, is meant to extend the period of Arivia, to take the p'tur of Zachar Nekeva and suspend it as if he doesn't have a Zachar Nekeva, and extend and continue the chova of period of Arivia even after he has a boy and a girl. That's the nature of the Takonis Chachamim of La'erev al Tanach Yodech. And if that be the case, insofar as La'erev is really an Iker Kiyum of period of Arivia, as an extension thereof, then the old law of Mochrim Sefer Torah applies even now, according to this Yesh Omer. The other day I would say that no, La'erev al Tanach Yodecha is not an extension, but rather it's a brand new Chiyuv. And insofar as it's only a Chiyuv Derabanan, we're not going to allow the sale of a Sefer Torah for the sake of La'erev al Tanach Yodecha, and that's the first day here in the Mechaber Sif Ches. However, in the case of Sheves, if let's say we take the Tours approach, Sheves is a Kiyum, and we're not going to be Mezalzel in that Kiyum, it's even Doraisa, it's not period of Arivya, and it doesn't come under the Halach of Mochrim Sefer Torah. The establishment of Mechira Sefer Torah is limited to period of Arivya. And barring the Rivam Shita in Tosfos and Gittin Daf Mem Aleph, we're going to maintain the other Shitas in Tosfos La Shevis Yitzar, as great as it is, doesn't have that luster and that power of period of Arivya. It's a separate independent Chiyuv. Continue to populate the world, and don't be satisfied with having a Zohar Nekeva that died. Propagate and populate the world. Good, but it's not period of Arivya. The Iker Mitzvah period of Arivya fulfilled. Rabbi Yochanan is on the same page as Rav Huna in that sense. Kibriyasa Shalom Zohar Nekeva. Ah, there's a new Chiyuv. That Chiyuv doesn't have the status, at least according to one day in Tosfos, of a mitzvah rabbah to be matir mechiras sefer Torah. And therefore we have, and according to the Rambam, that Yosheves Yitzhar is not an independent chiyuv, then kolshke we can't sell a sefer Torah for the sake of a Yisoma. So again, we'll sell a sefer Torah for the sake of a man who has fulfilled the mitzvah of period of Rivia, now he wants to go to the next stage and marry a woman who's bas bonim and fulfill the mitzvah of La'erev, which is only mitzvah of the Rishon. From for that, we'll sell the Sefer Torah. But paradoxically, we'll not sell the Sefer Torah for the sake of Nsue Isha Yisoma, despite the fact that she has, according to 2 days in Tosfos, a mitzvah of Losheves Yitzhara. But the answer is that Losheves Yitzhara, insofar as it sets up an independent mitzvah, it doesn't have the status of mitzvahs peri verivial, a hatir mechira sefer Torah. Masha Enkin, in the case of a man who has children, but he wants to have more children, he wants to fulfill the mitzvah of L'Erev al Tanach Yodecha. In that context, the takon of L'Erev Tanach Yodecha is an extension of the mitzvah peri verivial. And even if it's only the Rabbanon, that doesn't matter. What the Rabbanan do is, they're being mamshich, they're stretching and extending the mitzvah of peri verivya. So therefore, La'erev al Tanach Yodecha has the geshmak, has the personality, and is classified as peri verivya, albeit min Rabbanan. That's enough to be ma'at mechira sefer Torah. But the mitzvah of Losheves Yitzhara, in this case incumbent upon a woman, is not a mitzvah of peri verivya. The nafkamina, what the mitzvah, whether you classify it as peri verivya in the case of La'erev, but you strip it of its status as peri verivya in the case of Losheves Yitzhar, that Afkamin is going to be the heter mechir sefer Torah. That heter is limited to the mitzvah of peri verivya. It does not apply to other chiyuvim that are independent of peri verivya. But it would apply, the heter mechir sefer Torah, oddly enough, to the drabanan of L'Erev al Tanach Yodecha, because that's defined as a mitzvah of peri verivya, I'll call upon him midrabban. Okay, then?